is Shirley. Oh, excuse me, I better put my glasses on. And Shirley Simmons, and I wanted, and this is something, this is really going to be interesting. It's He Waka Ika Noa, and this is the national survey, and it highlights state violence, and I really want to talk to her about that. And this is what they've been putting, just a survey, and the results I find are alarming, but thank goodness this survey was done. Kia ora, Shirley. Welcome to you on Radio Wātea this evening.
Kia ora, he mihi a kia koe.
Well, what the survey findings, and there's just so many of them. I went through them, but can you just tell us a little bit about what you actually found out, and maybe the highlights, but more importantly, was there anything that showed up that really took you by surprise?
Yes, good. Some good parts. The survey was designed to be a 15-minute survey, but judging from the results we got and the responses we got, it was evident that a number of people took a considerable amount of time. And I think that's one of the first things I'd like to point out, is that we had hoped to get around 1,000 responses, and we got over 1,600. So one of the things that is evident to us is that whānau needed to be heard on this topic. I don't know if that's one of the most surprising results, but that's one of the things I think that stands out to me. It's quite a lot to ask whānau to set aside, 5, 10, 15 minutes of their time in a day to do a survey, and the fact that a vast number took a decent amount of time to fill in the free text responses just provided us that evidence that whānau needed to be heard. And they put time and effort a whole lot of feeling into their responses. So that was really, really encouraging for us, actually, that we did put the survey into the field. Yeah.
Surely getting those, because that's a civic, you hope to get 1,000 respondents, and of course you got another 700 additional. Did that help at all with the because it would have put more pressure on you having to, I suppose, collate everything. So was it helpful having those extra 700, or could you have done the survey with the 1,000 that you had hoped for?
I think it was helpful, firstly, to show that whānau needed a voice in this area. And we designed the survey with a number of open text questions, so not just sort of multi-choice style questions, open text. And that was deliberate to allow whānau to have as much voice as possible, given that it was an online survey. It does require more analysis and more time and so on, but it does give us that depth of insight to whānau experiences. So that was really valuable.
What obviously came out of it was the cultural frameworks that can be developed in strengthening, really, the prevention of family and sexual violence. So that would have been so helpful, the survey and the findings, in developing the framework?
Yes, one of the things that held this survey apart from others is that we surveyed individuals on experiences of state violence, and we provided quite a distinct definition of the different types of state violences. So, for example, we asked around neglect, failure to protect by state and state services, abuse or abuse of power, racism, breaches of te tiriti, and then a separate question on police violence, so that we tried to take, tried to provide that quite clear definition of the different types of state violence. And this was quite unique in terms of a survey, and showed that the vast proportion of Māori had experienced state violence. And we took this approach to demonstrate that what happens to one individual happens to the whānau. So this was the whānau order section of our survey, and our thinking was that, you know, we wanted to gather experiences on the collective and experiences of the collective themselves. So that gave us some quite compelling data around the experiences of our whānau of the different types of state violence. But what we found in there, and this is where the richness of the open text questions really had a whole lot of value, what we found in there was that the solutions that whānau find, it was really insightful, really, that we could get that view into some of the strategies and solutions that whānau had. So, and a lot of these indicated self-care. A lot of them were underpinned by tikanga and masapuna Māori, so tautoko, aroha, upholding whānau values, hoki atu ki ngā, you know, ngā kōrero a kuima, a koroma. So these were some of the strategies that whānau said that they are using. Connecting with their whakapapa, tikanga reo, try to connect with my hapū, look after my whānau, learn and practice te reo and tikanga as a whānau. So in there we see some of the solutions that provide our whānau with strength when faced with these experiences of state violence.
Well, you know, look, when I was reading it, I just thought, do you know what I thought? I thought, Shirley, I thought, well, God, where do you start? Because when you look at it, you know, state violence to the individual has a far wider impact than I think we really realize. And then the failings of those agencies, and I think I saw there where it was over 80% of the respondents, you know, had experienced, you know, abuse of power. And you know, it could be from WINS, the police, the health services, the justice system, the education system. I mean, that is absolutely mind-boggling. When I was reading it, I thought, my God, where do you actually start just to unpack it and then say, right, how are we going to at some stage deal with it? Because it's so embedded in New Zealand society through state violence.
Absolutely, and I guess this is a start to highlight it, that it's happening and that these are the experiences of our whānau Māori. Absolutely. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, some of the strategies that whānau have employed are really well worth digging down and having a closer look, because that's where we find our solutions. A lot of whānau talked about keeping their own boundaries. Some talked about that, you know, acknowledging the need to conform to society so that they sort of go under the radar. Many talked about their own healing, undertaking counselling or hauora self-care practices. And a lot talked about the importance of education, and not necessarily education as a formal education, but keeping oneself informed of your rights, making sure tamariki and whānau are informed of what they're entitled to and knowing the rules and regulations. And a lot talked about the importance of communication and discussion and sharing amongst whānau.
Well, I think you've just mentioned education, and you know, for whānau, for the individual, and for whānau to know what their rights are. You know, and if you don't know what your rights are, then you'll accept anything that's dished out. And I think that education is a really big part of moving the dial in this whole area of, you know, violence that our whānau experience, particularly from the state.
Absolutely, and that sort of is, you know, is connected to advocacy as well. So if you know what your rights are, what you're entitled to, then you're more empowered to advocate for those rights, either for yourself or for other whānau members. So a number of respondents talked about self-advocacy or the strength in being able to advocate for other whānau members in the system when needed.
Yeah, and so I hope that the survey results that they will get sent to various ministers of the Crown, because this is something that every political party, I mean, we operate under an MMP system, so how many parties, well, we've got, how many do we have? Five of them in government in at present, I think. But, you know, I just think that every member of parliament should receive a copy of this, of the findings at least, so that they are aware that when they start putting the boot into Māori whānau, then they have to know that the state, through the way that they act, through the systemic racist systems, through not responding quick enough, through lack of protection, you know, when things are reported, that they are actually contributing to the state of where Māori are at present.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is I believe the whakapapa of a lot of our violences we experience at an individual level. We have had really good engagement with Marama Davidson as the Minister for Prevention of Family Violence, and she's attended, I think, a couple of our conferences and so on to disseminate these findings. But yes, you're right, I think they do, you know, it's a good awareness raising and a really important awareness raising of the depth and breadth of these experiences.
So it wasn't just wahine Māori. There were men that took part in the survey, and also a transgender as well. Hang on, was it trans? I just saw that. So it was, you had, it wasn't just, I mean, obviously 80%, nearly 73%, 78% were identified as female, a further 17% as male, and 4.2% as non-binary. So that's a good response from the males and non-binary at this stage.
It is, and that is one of the things I will point out with these results. It does largely represent the experiences of wahine, so we do need to take that into account with interpreting the results. And I think there is more work to be done on looking at the experiences for our tāne, and also for those who have diverse ways of identifying their gender. So that is one point. But we did get relatively good representation from tāne as well. We have analysed the results, some of the results separately by tāne, wahine, and, you know, not a huge difference is shown there. But yeah, like I say, it is important to acknowledge that this largely represents the experience of wahine.
So you've done this this survey, and has it been done under the banner of Tūtama Wahine or Taranaki?
That
was the yes. So this is what you've done. Really, is you've done the mahi of government actually. In pulling this because this is hot off the press, it's what would you say? It's up to date. I mean, the survey was done in 21, so it was analysed, etc., in 22. So it's out right now. So you know, this is really up to date, an up to date survey. And but it's, I was going to say that it really is a piece of work that should have probably been done by a government agency. But then again, Shirley, would you have got the response, particularly from Māori, that the survey that enlisted, or, you know, the survey got, the uptake might not have been there had it been through a government agency?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that the first thing to note is that this is a really under-researched area, and which seems surprising given our statistics, really. So there have been little or maybe no full surveys done particularly aimed for Māori, and this survey was for those who identified as Māori and had whakapapa Māori. I think we very carefully crafted the survey itself and disseminated amongst networks that we knew had high representation of Māori. But I think one of the things that contributes to us getting such a high response rate is the level of trust in the research team. I think had it been disseminated by a governmental organisation, the response rate might have been quite different.
Yeah, I know, because and there's no doubt. I think that we look at government agencies and we think, oh, you know, we've been surveyed out by you. Over the years, we never get the results, and then of course we never see any movement of the dial in that area. So, but the thing that struck me too was that the median age was 80, because you had people from a very young age of 18 up to 87, but the median age was 50. So that means that people had their children, had their families, were in those years where, you know, a lot of the family commitments were out of the way. And but they still felt it was so important to take part in the survey, which I think is great to capture from all ends of the spectrum. But the median obviously was of an age actually where experience counts, and their experiences are very clear, and they want to make sure, as you've just highlighted before, that their voice was heard because they've got lived experience to share with others.
Yes, we got a good age range in the survey and also a good geographical distribution. So across Aotearoa. I think one of the standout comments in the free text section that stood out for myself was literally the quote that said, "Thank you for listening." And so, like I say, I think it was it really demonstrated that whānau need to have a voice in this area, and also perhaps the healing power or the rongoā of simply being heard. So we have a responsibility with this data and disseminating it in, you know, suitable areas is one part of that responsibility to help shift and make some positive shifts in there so that, you know, healing can happen.
Shirley, is there any opportunity for some of the findings from the survey to be presented at the Waitangi Tribunal, the Manawahine hearings for the tribunal, or in the area of the health? There's a claim for health as well, because, you know, this really shows you that, you know, you can have intergenerational violence, state violence, which we know that's the case as well. And just for the tribunal, just to get to know that really so much has not changed, and that is still impacting our families, not only the individual, but the families. And actually, it can through our whānau, hapū and iwi, certainly limit the potential of everyone.
Yes, absolutely. And I know that some of our key researchers on the wider project, the wider He Waka Eke Noa project, are also closely involved in some of those claims. So, yes, you're right. What impacts on the individual impacts on the wider whānau and collective. And that was one of the approaches we took in developing and drafting up this survey.
Now, Shirley, I see that you are, you're doing anybody who wants to call you to talk about that. So were you involved as a researcher as well in the survey, He Waka Eke Noa?
Yes, so I helped develop and analyse the survey itself, but the development of the survey was very much a collective, undertaking. We had really strong input from practitioners in the field in drafting and shaping up the questions and the nature of the questions and the examples given to demonstrate the different types of violence. And I think in that respect, and I know for some of those that worked on the survey development, it became a healing tool in itself and an educational tool in itself, because one of the things that we sort of noted in some of the results, some of the comments indicated that some whānau have become somewhat accustomed to a level of violence, and so therefore, you know, highlighting it becomes at the start of a pathway for healing.
Yes, I guess what you're saying, I do hear what you're saying in that regard, Shirley, is that in some instances we have just to a certain extent normalized or even accepted that there will be a degree of violence, state violence towards Māori and particularly Wahine Māori. And that's a real tragedy that should never have happened over the years. But sometimes the acceptance and normalisation that's our lot. For some, maybe not, but for a good percentage, it is. And that's quite a sad thing to hear. But I didn't, I think that's a reality, isn't it?
Yes, and just that recognition of the violence and the different violences is the first start to, unpacking it and seeking healing and health and working towards oranga. One of the sections that we had in our survey was that of pai ora. So we asked around what were aspirational health goals for whānau and so on, and that was a really important section. And whānau indicated, just have a little look at some of the data here. So, one of the things that whānau indicator was really, really important was kāinga. So the top five things were kāinga, having a healthy and safe home. Whanaungatanga, it was rated as really important. Identity, whānau, mātauranga and wairuatanga were kind of the top five or six aspects that whānau indicated as really, really important for the health of them and themselves and their whānau.
Yes, and I did note also, Shirley, that, whānau and friends, they are significant in providing support for whānau, because the majority of respondents I see, they sought support from friends, 40%, and whānau, 42%. So we're talking with family and friends, you're talking 82% of support came from people that the individual knew. So that's why this education in terms of our whānau, in terms of our friends, is really so important.
Absolutely, and that's what this showed, that sort of the first line or the most common line of support were our immediate circles of whānau and friends. So, it makes you think about how are we supporting whānau to support those who are experiencing violence.
Yeah. Well, it is about strengthening our whānau, isn't it? There's no doubt about that, strengthening the whānau. Of course, we work with the individual, but you strengthen the whānau as well. When I read it, and I've come from a background in Women's Refuge and still working with whānau ora, of course, and we work with the whānau who have been on the receiving end of lack of that state support. The lack of or being on the receiving end of state support that has been totally inadequate for the needs of people who are experiencing the violence, state violence. So it's, when I was reading it, I felt very, very sad, Shirley, because I thought, my God, where do you start to turn things around? But this is a good start. There's no doubt about it. Unless you know what you're dealing with and the degree of the issues and the problems, then you probably won't get started. But this is definitely a good start.
Absolutely. And one of the very final questions we asked there are, what are the things that are important for a healthy future for Māori? And the sort of top ones given were, number one, addressing poverty. So there's a wide recognition of the impact of our socioeconomic situation on our wider well-being. Number two, addressing racism. Three, honouring te tiriti. And a particular interest for me as a reo advocate, four and five, we're normalising te reo Māori in schools and normalising te reo Māori in communities. So there's, and amongst the survey respondents, there's a really keen recognition of the importance of our mātauranga Māori, reo Māori, supporting kohanga and kaupapa, and also empowering our Māori organisations. Mm-hmm. That's really heartening to see. And in terms of, the results of the survey are pretty, pretty grim, pretty real, but also in there are indications for our solutions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, look, Shirley, thank you so much for taking the time on a Monday evening to talk to us about the national survey highlights, because it's really important that that the general public, everybody hears that this work has been going on, but more importantly, the role that we can play as whānau members and as friends, because we are concerned. We should be concerned for everyone that could have been and maybe still is a victim of state violence, and particularly the high numbers of our women that are impacted by that. And as you've just explained to us, Shirley, that it's not just the individual, it actually impacts on the whole whānau as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Shirley, thank you so much for first of all, for the mahi that you have done along with Leonie Pihama. To do this mahi and all the others that have been involved in bringing this national survey highlights to the fore in front of the nation. And now we've got to get cracking and see, okay, what role can we play in actually reducing these numbers and also continuing to highlight where things are not going well and where things need to be done better. I want to thank you so much for your mahi in this area, Shirley.
Kia ora, and thank you for the opportunity to kōrero to them. He mihi kia
ora. Kia ora.
koe.